As they're going, I encourage you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. As we come into the Christmas season, one of the things that we are aware of is that Christmas, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, was the fulfillment of all kinds of prophecy. In fact, it is one of the things that establishes the veracity of the Word of God, is the amazing amount of prophecy that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It is impossible, basically impossible, to fulfill all those prophecies that He fulfilled in any one person. And yet, Jesus is the one. So we know that. But we also know that there were some other prophecies that occurred around the coming of Christ. And so we want to take a look at one of those this morning. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now let me just stop there for a moment. This in itself is miraculous. He was sent to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. I'd be troubled too if an angel showed up. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We're familiar with the passage of Scripture. We've heard it probably every year as we have grown up in our adult years. But try to put ourselves into that situation. It was in the presence of miracle. The angel Gabriel came to Mary and gave these statements, prophetic statements, about Mary, about Jesus, and about this miraculous birth. So we want to look at those three things this morning. Let's take a look at the angel's prophecy about Mary. Now the first thing he said was, "Mary, you are highly favored." Verse 28 there. You're highly favored. What does that mean? That's a word that, from a word that comes to mean that which delights. So what that means is that Mary delighted the Lord. Isn't that kind of neat? You know what? I hope my life delights the Lord. I hope your life delights the Lord. I hope that our God is delighted by the way that we live our lives. Well, this was favor shown, and of course this was going to be tied to the birth of a child. God chose Mary to bring Jesus into the world as a baby. An event that would bring delight and cause joy. Sad thing today is far too many people in our world see the birth of a baby as a curse. I have been disturbed, of course, as we all have, by the high numbers of abortions. You know something else that has disturbed me? I also saw recently is the surveys among young people who have no interest in having children. They just don't want to be bothered. They've got too much going on. So the surveys show that we are at the highest percentage ever of young people who have no interest in having children. But the birth of children is a blessing. Oh, I realize there's hard work involved. I realize the things that go along with raising kids. I've never been a mom, but I have been a dad. And I've lived with a mom. But I tell you what, children are a blessing. And we need to remember that. Now this child that Mary was going to have the privilege of bearing would change the world. In fact, he is the curse destroyer. Thank the Lord. He would be the Savior of the world. Not only did the angel say that you're highly favored, he also said, you are not alone. The Lord is with you. Oh, I tell you what. Don't we desire the presence of God in our lives? That's what we want to know, that we are not alone and that the Lord is with us. Now, this was going to become very, very important to her because of the ridicule, the gossip, the other kinds of things that she would probably be facing. Now, we can just assume that situation, although we're not given specific information, but when people would find out that she was pregnant before she was married, they would recognize that as sin. Now let me just remind you that it's still true today, as it always has been, that sex outside of marriage is sin. Even though our culture rejects that concept today and thinks that there's nothing wrong with it, it's still clear that fornication is sin. And so she would be guilty, apparently, of fornication. In fact, the groom that she was engaged to would have to decide what to do with her. She was facing rejection. Rejection from Joseph. Rejection in the culture. I assume rejection in her own family. Now they would ask her about it, and what would she say? The angel said that this is a miraculous thing. And I believe there were people in that day, just like there are people today, and I'll get to it, that would say, yeah, right. Likely story. Things don't happen that way, Mary. You know what she needed to know? She needed to know that the Lord was with her. Now, we're not likely to find ourselves in situations just like this, obviously. But we also find ourselves in situations that when we're trying to live for the Lord, people misunderstand. In fact, they may ascribe to us wrong motives. And we can face rejection. But you know what we know? The Lord is with us. And I want to remind you today, the Lord is with you. That is one of the greatest things, is serving the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that the Lord is with us. She had the presence, the promise of the presence of God and we can too. But not only that, angel also said that she was blessed. The words, the means provided with the benefits that come from God. I wonder if there were times during that pregnancy when she questioned whether she was blessed. When people didn't understand and when people rejected her, how do you think she felt? I imagine she had feelings just like we do. But she had this assurance. She was blessed. Comes from God. And that is what matters in our lives. Hang on to that. But not only did the angel have things to say about Mary, he also had things to say about Jesus. And this is one of the things we want to pay attention to. What did he say? Jesus will be great. Now that's a big word. We use it for a lot of different things, but I think of that song, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world," that is taken right from Scripture. And it is true. He is great. I'm reminded of the story, Francis Bacon. He was a lawyer who had become Chancellor of England, one of the highest positions in the nation. Queen Elizabeth was the queen at the time, and from time to time she would visit in places of nobility and those kinds of things, and so she chose to visit him at his home. Queen Elizabeth was coming to Francis Bacon's house. When she arrived, looked around, she'd been there a little while, and she said to him, "What a little house you have gotten." Well, she was used to lavish mansions. She was used to those people who had lots of money, and they would big on entertaining and had all these fancy houses and things like that. It came to Francis Bacon's house and was just a regular old house. And he responded by saying, "The house is well, but it is you, your majesty, who has made me too great for my house." That's what Jesus does for us. He changes us. We're just regular, ordinary people. But the Lord Jesus brings greatness into your life. It doesn't mean that we should be proud. Not at all. We should have the same attitude. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who brings greatness into our lives. He will be great. He will be Son of the Highest. The angel said, the Most High. This is a superlative word. There in verse 32, he'll be Son of the Highest, of the Most High. This is the one that really matters. He will be the Son of God, and he will be given the throne of David. Now, we could read through that and miss really what it means, because this is a promise that goes back all the way into the Old Testament. This is a part of the fulfillment of prophecy. There would always be one who would be ruling from the house of David, from the lineage of David. And Jesus is from the lineage of David and has been given that throne forever. Amen. It fulfills the prophecy. He will reign as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as we just sang about. And that goes on forever. Amen. No longer do we have to pay attention to who's a descendant of David and would have the rightful throne of Israel, because we know who is. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Son of God. He is the Holy One, God come in the flesh. Jesus. Then the angel also had something to say about the miracle that was going to occur. Now the agent would be the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said in verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. This is going to be the work of God Almighty, will be demonstrated in human history, and Mary would be the vehicle. The angel said that she will conceive, but she is a virgin. This is a miracle. It is a miracle that is being challenged today. As I was reading some of the information about this, back in the year 2004, 79% of Americans, Christian or not, 79% of Americans believed in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. In 2014, that had dropped, 2017, that had dropped to 66%. 30% of evangelicals deny or don't believe in the deity of Jesus. Now, 52% of the general population don't, but those who claim to know Jesus as Savior, 30% of them deny that He is the Son of God or don't believe that He is the Son of God. 65% of evangelicals agree with this statement on a poll. Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. Sorry, that's not true. Jesus is God. He was never created. He always has been. And what we have here is the miracle of the incarnation, where Jesus took on human flesh, was born as a baby to a virgin. That's a miracle. There are people today, as I said, recognized who've rejected it. In fact, they found a significant percentage of Protestant clergy don't believe in the virgin birth. This is sad. There are people who say, well, it's not mentioned in the rest of the New Testament. Paul did not talk about the virgin birth. John, outside of the gospel, didn't talk about the virgin birth. They say, well, that shows that it's not true. That doesn't show that it's not true. Not at all. Just because somebody doesn't say something doesn't mean that it's not true. In fact, it probably was not discussed by Paul or the other New Testament writers because it wasn't controversial. There was no reason to argue for it because nobody doubted it in that time. In fact, it was entered into the Nicene Creed without any argument or debate. It was generally accepted among Christendom, the virgin birth. And they say, well, Matthew and Luke used a faulty translation from Isaiah 7:14, where it says that a virgin would conceive, that came through the Septuagint. Septuagint, you know, was a translation from the Old Testament into Greek. And so they mistranslated that, and the word really means young woman. So Isaiah was saying young woman would bear a son, and of course Mary was a young woman, and so fulfilled the prophecy, but don't have to accept the part of being a virgin. Well, I preached specifically this morning from Luke, because although Matthew says the same thing, Luke makes it clear that this is not just a normal conception. Mary is the one who says, how in the world can this be? This can't be because I have never known a man. I have never been involved sexually with any man or individual like that, so this is an impossibility. How can this possibly happen? And the angel responds by describing it as a miracle. Now here's the issue. If we do not accept the truth of the virgin birth, we are not accepting the inerrancy of God's Word. And people who reject the virgin birth, they say, oh, well, it doesn't really make that much difference, are simply wrong. Because if the virgin birth is not true, then it changes the authority of God's Word. The same kind of thing as people who try to say, well, you know, God didn't really create the world in 6 days, and, you know, that's just kind of a myth. In fact, I was just reading a contemporary apologist, get this, Christian apologist, who was trying to explain that much of the Bible is written in a genre that is called myth history. Quite frankly, that's just an excuse for saying the Bible is not accurate. Myth history. But the sad thing is, this fellow is teaching in a prominent Christian school. Is a published writer today of apologetics, of all things, and does not necessarily believe that the virgin birth is true. One of the things that we're seeing around us in our day is the people who are rejecting the authority of the Word of God. Now, this has been around for a long time, and you're aware of that, so it's always been a battle. But we need to realize that it is important that we understand that every part of the Scripture is correct. And it is very evident in this passage of Scripture that a virgin birth is intended. Not just that a young woman was going to get pregnant. This is obviously a virgin birth. And Mary understood it that way, and that is what the angel said would occur. People reject the idea because it's not normal. Well, it's not normal. Now, let me ask you something. Are miracles normal? That's what makes miracles miracles. They're not normal. If they were normal, they wouldn't be miracles. What we have today is people who cannot accept the truth of miracles. When they look at God's Word, they think they've got to explain them all away. Somehow, just some kind of a natural event that occurred. I've read these kinds of things. I think one of them's a classic one. Excuse me. When Moses saw the burning bush, and I heard one person explaining that was a natural gas well that caught on fire there in the Middle East. And it was just burning natural gas, and that's what Moses saw. Another classic, that when Jesus fed the 5,000, actually more than 5,000, that was just 5,000 men, but plus the women and children, he didn't actually multiply the food. What really happened, heard this preached. What really happened was Jesus found, the disciples found this compassionate boy who had brought his lunch, a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And he was willing to share. And Jesus commended that attitude of sharing. And so all the other people opened up their robes and took out the lunches that they were hiding and sat down and shared them with the people around them. And it was a great time of sharing and everybody was fed. Well, that makes a nice story, but it's not what the Bible says at all. Listen, if we can't accept the miracles of God's Word, how do you accept the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? And if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we're lost. We're simply lost. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're in a hopeless situation. But if you can accept the fact of the resurrection, then a resurrection which occurred by the mighty power of God, then why can you not accept the veracity of the virgin birth and the other miracles that are a part of God's Word? Can we give this up? Can we say it doesn't really matter? No, we can't. Because if there are parts of the Bible that are not true, then you really can't trust the Bible at all. People try to turn it into some kind of a moralistic writing. That's not what the Scripture is. The Bible is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God given to us. And it is true and the final authority for our lives. so we come to this. She said about the conception, yes, it's a miracle. And we accept it as a miracle. And we say, well, no, we don't know how to explain that in normal, natural means because it is a miracle. Not only did that prophecy made about the miracle, but also the promise was given. He shall be born. That's a powerful promise given to Mary. In the midst of this difficult situation, Mary, that you've agreed to, where the world will not accept your story, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're a liar. They're going to question your integrity. In fact, even Joseph will question your integrity. And you're going to face this. But the Lord will be with you. And Jesus will be born. The promise is given. The end will be accomplished. The promise of God will happen miraculously. You know what that helps me to know? That helps me to know that God will keep the rest of His promises too. This was assured, and of course we have it in history. Jesus was born. You know what that means? That means the promises that God has made in His Word will come true. That means that the promise of salvation is a reality. Our sins really can be forgiven, and we can be released from the guilt of them and from the judgment of hell. It means that the promise of holiness of heart is a reality, and it will be fulfilled. We can have a pure heart. It means that the promise of the Lord's second coming is real, that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. It means that the promises and the statements that are made in the book of Revelation, for example, and other prophecies will come true. These things which God has promised, He'll do. Amen. He said to Mary, you will conceive, and Jesus will be born. It will be accomplished. I wonder if when she was making the trip from down to Bethlehem with Joseph, if those words were ringing through her mind, this will happen. I wonder if when Joseph had to come back and tell her, well, there's really no room in the inn, and all things are, there's no vacancies, and even the Motel 6 has turned off their lights. what are we going to do? And she'd remember the promise, the Lord is with you. And this will be accomplished. This is going to happen. You know, I want to remind us today of the thing that the angel told Mary that is true for us too. And that is, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. We come into difficult situations in life also. And I don't know, it may be that you're facing one even now. But the Lord's promises are true. And His grace is just as available today as it was then. He never said we wouldn't go through tight spots. He never said that we would always be accepted. He never said that things would happen just in a breeze. But His word is true. And His promises are accurate. And you can count on them. And even when it looks like an impossible situation, we're reminded of what the angel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. And we praise His name today. Will you stand with me? We've gathered together today, Lord, and we have reviewed this miraculous occurrence again. But we are believers. While we can't explain how this happened either, we know it did. And we believe with all our hearts that a virgin conceived and bore our Savior Jesus. He has become the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the curse destroyer for us as well. Lord, I don't know who of Your people today find themselves in the midst of a difficult situation. Maybe they're experiencing some rejection. Maybe they're experiencing somebody questioning their integrity. Maybe they're facing a hard spot of arrangements in life. This morning, we take a hold of your promises, for your promises are true, and you are faithful. And although things can look hard and difficult, for with you nothing shall be impossible. Don't allow us, Lord, to be sucked down into the mindset of our world that says that miracles are not possible. Help us today. Strengthen our faith as we walk with you. And we will give you praise. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us also to remember and to be aware that you are returning and you're coming for us. And may we be found ready, believing, not doubters, walking with you, looking forward to that day. I pray for your blessing on your people. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help them to know your presence. They are not alone. And I pray that they would know your favor as well. That our lives may be a delight to you as we walk as disciples here. We pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.